Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're going to be in the book of Ezekiel today. So if you find the Psalms in the middle of the Bible or near the middle, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then big books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, little book, Lamentations, and then Ezekiel. We'll be reading Ezekiel chapters 1 to 6, taking some devotional pauses on the way through, some applicational thoughts at the end, and closing in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, this prophet Ezekiel is not one we're maybe that familiar with. And so I pray as we read through these first six chapters that you would help us to understand your word, what you're trying to say to us, what we can learn about you and our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel's inaugural vision is the title of that they've given this chapter. In my 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Let me just say that before we get started, since this is the beginning of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was one of the priests that was brought to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. So during the exile of the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, he is in Babylon. And so you have God's calling now of Ezekiel to be his prophet. I saw visions of God. Verse 2. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kibar River in the land of the Babylonians. There the hand of the Lord was on him. I looked, and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was human, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands. All four of them had faces and wings, and the wings of one touched the wings of another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had the face of a human being, and on the right side, each had the face of a lion, and on the left, a face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. They each had two wings spreading out upward, each wing touching that of the creature on either side. And each had two other wings covering his body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, without turning as they went. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire, like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright, and lightning flashed out of it. Their creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like topaz, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of four directions the creatures faced. The wheels did not change direction as the creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels beside them moved, and when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When the creatures moved, they also moved. When the creatures stood still, they also stood still. And when the creatures rose from the ground, the wheels rose along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked something like a vault, sparkling like crystal and awesome. Under the vault, their wings were stretched out one toward the other, and each had two wings covering its body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings, like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. Then there came a voice from above the vault over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the vault over their heads was what looked like a throne of lapis lazuli, and high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal as if full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire. And brilliant light surrounded him. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds of a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. So we're introduced to Ezekiel here, a priest, taken to Babylon in exile, called by God now, and he sees this vision, and he recognizes what he thinks is the glory of the Lord, falls to his face. Here's chapter 2, titled Ezekiel's Call to be a Prophet. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says.' And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know what a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. Okay, so he's being called to be a prophet, and he's kind of given the idea that it's going to be pretty tough, but he is to say exactly what God gives him to say. Chapter 3. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll, then go and speak to the people of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Very interesting. Doesn't look like any seasonings or chocolate are on this thing. Chapter 3, or verse 3. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat the scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. There you go. He then said to me, "Son of man, go now to the people of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and strange language, but to the people of Israel. Not to many peoples of obscure speech and strange language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the people of Israel are not willing to listen to you, because they are not willing to listen to me. For all the Israelites are hardened and obstinate." Well, that's great, isn't it? To know that's what your audience is going to be. Verse 8. "But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are rebellious people." And he said to me, "Son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your people in exile and speak to them. Say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says,' whether they listen or fail to listen." Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a loud rumbling sound as the glory of the Lord rose from the place where it was standing. It was the sound of the wings of the living creatures brushing against each other, and the sound of the wheels beside them, a loud rumbling sound. The Spirit then lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, and in the anger of my spirit with the strong hand of the Lord on me. I came to the exiles who lived in Tel Aviv near the Kibar River. And there where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, deeply depressed. Okay. So he's gotten this message from God, and it's a tough one, right? Verse 16, title here of this passage, Ezekiel's Task as Watchman. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked person, 'You shall surely die,' and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person and they do not turn from their wickedness, or from their evil ways, they will die for their sin, but you will be saved yourself. Again, when a righteous person turns from their righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before them, they will die. Since you did not warn them, they will die for their sin. The righteous things that person did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the righteous person not to sin, and they do not sin, they will surely live because they took warning, and you will have saved yourself. The hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, 'Get up and go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you.' So I got up, went out to the plain, and the glory of the Lord was standing there like the glory I had seen by the Kibar River, and I fell face down." How amazing would that have been? Verse 24, "Then the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. He spoke to me and said, 'Go shut yourself inside your house And you, son of man, they will tie with ropes. You will be bound so that you cannot go out among the people. I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that it will be silent and unable to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious people. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Whoever will listen, let them listen, and whoever will refuse, let them refuse, for they are a rebellious people. Chapter 4, it says, Siege of Jerusalem symbolized. Now, son of man, take a block of clay, put it in front of you, and draw the city of Jerusalem on it. Then lay siege to it. Erect siege works against it, build a ramp up to it, set up camps against it, and put battering rams around it. Then take an iron pan, place it as an iron wall between you and the city, and turn your face toward it. It will be under siege, and you shall besiege it. This will be a sign to the people of Israel. Then lie on your left side, and put the sin of the people of Israel upon yourself. You are to bear their sin for the number of days you lie on your side. I have assigned you the same number of days as the years of their sin. So for 390 days you will bear the sin of the people of Israel. After you finish this, lie down again, this time on your right side, and bear the sin of the people of Judah. I have assigned you 40 days, a day for each year. Turn your face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and with bared arm prophesy against her. I will tie you up with ropes so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until you have finished the days of your siege. Take wheat and barley, beans and lentils, millet and spelt. Put them in a storage jar and use them to make bread for yourself. You are to eat it during the 390 days you lie on your side. Weigh out 20 shekels of food to eat each day and eat it at set times. Also measure out a sixth of a hin of water and drink it at set times. Eat the food as you would a loaf of barley bread. Bake it in the sight of the people using human excrement for fuel. The Lord said, in this way the people of Israel will eat defiled food among the nations where I will drive them. Then I said, not so, Sovereign Lord. I have never defiled myself. From my youth until now I have never eaten anything found dead or torn by wild animals. No impure meat has ever entered my mouth. Very well, he said, I will let you bake your bread over cow dung instead of human excrement. Oh, yeah. Verse 16, he then said to me, son of man, I'm about to cut off the food supply in Jerusalem. The people will eat rationed food in anxiety and drink rationed water in despair. They will be appalled at the sight of each other and will waste away because of their sin. Chapter 5, God's Razor of Judgment, it says as a title. And again, just a reminder, these titles are all added later. These are not a part of the inspired word of God. Now, son of man, take a sharp sword and use it as a barber's razor to shave your head and your beard. Then take a set of scales and divide up the hair. When the days of your siege come to an end, burn a third of the hair inside the city. Take a third and strike it with the sword all around the city, and scatter a third to the wind, for I will pursue them with drawn sword. But take a few hairs and tuck them away in the folds of your garment. Again, take a few of these and throw them into the fire and burn them up. A fire will spread from there to all Israel. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. This is Jerusalem, which I have set in the center of the nations, with countries all around her. Yet in her wickedness she has rebelled against my laws and decrees more than the nations and countries around her. She has rejected my laws and has not followed my decrees. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. You have been more unruly than the nations around you and have not followed my decrees or kept my laws. You have not even conformed to the standards of the nations around you. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself am against you, Jerusalem, and I will inflict punishment on you in the sight of the nations. Because of all your detestable idols, I will do to you what I have never done before and will never do again. Therefore, in your midst, parents will eat their children, and children will eat their parents. I will inflict punishment on you and will scatter all your survivors to the winds. Wow, how devastating is this? Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your vile images and detestable practices, I myself will shave you. I will not look on you with pity or spare you. A third of your people will die of the plague or perish by famine inside you. A third will fall by the sword outside your walls, and a third I will scatter to the winds and pursue with drawn sword. Then my anger will cease, and my wrath against them will subside, and I will be avenged. And when I've spent my wrath on them, they will know that I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal. I will make you a ruin and a reproach among the nations around you in the sight of all who pass by. You will be a reproach and a taunt, a warning and an object of horror to the nations around you when I inflict punishment on you in anger and in wrath and with stinging rebuke. I, the Lord, have spoken. When I shoot at you with my deadly and destructive arrows of famine, I will shoot to destroy you. I will bring more and more famine upon you and cut off your supply of food. I will send famine and wild beasts against you, and they will leave you childless. plague and bloodshed will sweep through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Wow. So God is coming after his people. Verse 6, or chapter 6, it says, doom for the mountains of Israel. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face against the mountains of Israel. Prophesy against them and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the sovereign Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and valleys. I am about to bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Your altars will be demolished, and your incense altars will be smashed. And I will slay your people in front of your idols. I will lay the dead bodies of the Israelites in front of their idols, and I will scatter your bones around your altars. Wherever you live, the towns will be laid waste and the high places demolished, so that your altars will be laid waste and devastated, your idols smashed and ruined, your incense altars brought down, broken down, and what you have wiped out, what you've made I've wiped out. Your people will fall slain among you, and you will know that I am the Lord. That's a phrase used often in the Old Testament, back in Exodus, what the work that God does, they will see God's work. Verse 8, but I will spare some, for some of you will escape the sword when you are scattered among the lands and nations. Then in the nations where they have been carried captive, those who escape will remember me, how I have been grieved by their adulterous hearts, which have turned away from me, and by their eyes, which have lusted after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evil they have done and for all their detestable practices. And they will know that I am the Lord. I did not threaten in vain to bring this calamity on them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Strike your hands together and stamp your feet out. Cry, alas, because of all the wicked and detestable practices of the people of Israel. For they will fall by the sword, famine, and plague. One who is far away will die of the plague, and one who is near will fall by the sword. And anyone who survives is spared will die of famine. So will I pour out my wrath on them. And they will know that I am the Lord when their people lie slain among their idols, around their altars, on every high hill and on the mountaintops, under every spreading tree and every leafy oak, places where they offered fragrant incense to all their idols. And I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land a desolate waste from the desert to Diblah, wherever they live. Then they will know that I am the Lord. So this is God's word to Ezekiel against his people. And there's, in the prophets here, there's symbolism. Sometimes it's hard to tell between the symbolism and things that will happen as we think of them. This is a vision that God has given. And the basic message here that I'm seeing is God's basically giving a prophecy against his people because they have worshiped other gods. That's the main thing that happened. So he's saying, listen, you've turned away from me. So you're going to feel my wrath. You're going to receive the consequences of this. And then the other thing that I noticed is to the prophet. He's saying to the prophet, listen, you go give this word to the people. You warn them. You tell them what's going to happen. And I'm going to hold you accountable. If you don't tell them, in a sense, their blood is on your head, right? It's like blood on your hands because you didn't tell them. So you need to warn them. You need to tell them what I'm telling you. That's what you're responsible for. So my takeaway is twofold here for personal application. One is just we may not think of idols the same way they thought of back then, real idols we bow down to. However, I have idols in my heart that I can bow down to that can take me away from God, and I need to be rededicated and recommitted to not worshiping any one or anything outside of God. And secondly, for me, as a pastor, I see this as an application of I need to be faithful to preach God's word, even if it's hard to hear. I need to be willing to share God's word with individuals and with groups, with the church as a whole, with everyone, regardless of what the message is, even if it's one of confrontation, even if it's about sin that people don't really want to hear about. Even if it's about a particular person's sin, to them, from God's word, I am responsible, I believe, to do that as God calls me to do it. And it's daunting. Can't imagine what the prophets went through. So what about you? Father, thank you for your word from the prophet Ezekiel. Lord, I want to be dedicated to worshiping only you. and I need your spirit, I need your help. And Father, I also want to be dedicated to preaching your word faithfully and giving your word to individuals faithfully as you call me to. Whatever the situation may be, Father, that I would be faithful to your word no matter what the response might be from others. I want to be faithful in teaching and preaching and living out your word. And I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen.